before Kumbhakarna, a little bit about Raj Yoga. Raj Yoga means to remember God as incorporeal father of incorporeal soul. It is actually an accurate and a powerful remembrance of God as the incorporeal father of the incorporeal soul. This is practiced with the help of what are called divine eye and divine intellect. Divine eye means to see the God as the incorporeal father of the incorporeal soul, to see the self as the incorporeal soul, and also to see the God as the incorporeal father. Divine intellect means to understand this relationship and also to experience the relationship, thereby developing an inner faith that I am truly a divine child of the divine Father, God the Father. This is what is called divine intellect, and use of both together allows us to develop the habit of practicing remembrance of God at any time throughout the day. Such simple practice, simple understanding allows us to remove what is called the darkness in the awareness, darkness in the self, about the self. To remove the darkness of ignorance about the self and also ignorance about God. Such practice also allows to remove the ignorance in the human relationships, when we call ourselves as the brothers, when we call ourselves as the human beings, children of one God, there should also be the true feeling of it. Therefore, such simple practice of Raj Yoga, based on the use of the divine eye and divine intellect, allows us also to remove the darkness of ignorance about the human relations and allows us to establish what is called a pure spiritual link among ourselves throughout the whole world as the children of one God the Father. When such ignorance is removed, further there will be lot and lot of changes in our attitudes, in our virtues, in our understanding of the whole concept of the beginning, middle and end of the human world, humanity. The beginning, middle and end of the civilization. And also it gives the understanding where exactly we are located, we are identified ourselves in this big world, which is also called tree of generations, genealogical tree of humanity, where it is believed God being the seed and the whole tree is of the human souls or human beings. Such clear understandings are attained through the practice of simple, easy Raja Yoga, which we have just heard. And who is then Kumbhakaran? Kumbhakaran is a mythological identity, character, personage depicted in epic of Ramayana, which is very well known, read, studied in India. Who is so shown as a person, member of the community of the kingdom of Ravan, particularly as his brother, sleeping for half the year and eating for half the year, rest of half the year. First eating and then sleeping. And he only gets up to further eat and then goes to sleep. Actually, such person cannot exist, actually, whoever may be. There cannot be, it is only a mythological identity of who is called Kumbhakaran. But from the understanding of Raja Yoga, Kumbhakaran means man who has developed wrong prejudices, thereby understands himself in another way as exactly who he is. In other words, Kumbhakaran is the one who is ignorant of the true self, who is ignorant of the beautiful knowledge of the true self from the point of view of eternity or this eternal world drama in which, on which the whole play of variety of religions, variety of civilizations has been taking place. Kumbhakaran also means the one who becomes ignorant while accepting also the true knowledge, thereby does not actually identify the contrast between the truth and false. Thereby, who never changes himself with respect to the quality of life, with respect to understanding the human relations, with respect to the value of the life. And thereby, he becomes the one who just enjoys the life while eating, drinking and sleeping. That's what he considers the life to be. So, it is said, it is actually not just the ignorance, but actually when person is in the deep sleep of ignorance with respect to his own life. It is not the physical sleep, but it is the sleep of absence of the knowledge. Just opposite is enlightened personality, personnel, who is called Raja Yogi, who is constantly aware of the self as a spiritual being who identifies himself as a spiritual being, thereby also identifies others as a spiritual being. One is the ignorant personality and another is the enlightened personality. Therefore, Kumbhakaran and Rajyogi are just opposite personalities. Rajyogi, being enlightened, who values the spiritual entity throughout the day, who values inner conscience and who listens to it, whereby he can discriminate between right and wrong. Enlightenment means to discriminate, to have the power of discrimination between the right and wrong. Enlightenment also means to be empowered to act according to the enlightenment, according to the truth, according to the righteousness. An enlightened personality always enjoys the fruition of his own life without any regrets. Any kind of regret about the self is what is called ignorance, a character of Kumbhakarna, who is not yet awakened from the sleep of misunderstanding, from the sleep of his own prejudices, etc., etc. Therefore, an enlightened Rajyogi personality who, having identified the self different from the Supreme Soul, who has the intellectual loveful communication with him, can also help others to enlighten and thereby to allow them to have the connection with the unseen, invisible Supreme Father, Supreme Soul, the unlimited Father of all the religions, souls of all the religions, the Father of the whole world. Only such enlightened soul can awaken the sleeping Kumbhakarna, who is ignorant of the knowledge. Therefore, it is not the question of blaming anyone not having the knowledge, having the ignorance of the knowledge, but actually it is expressing one's own inner mercy. Enlightenment does not at all means kind of self-oriented, egoistic, or possessing everything for the self. No. Enlightenment actually gives rise to the beautiful quality of the soul which is called mercy. Mercy means to help, to love, to cooperate, to support, to uplift, and so on and so forth. Enlightenment can never be passed just with words of knowledge, but it is always given as an attainment to the other person in an easy way. In an easy way, when man is never able to even imagine that such kind of empowerment can occur in his life, but an enlightened soul is able to give other person the inner faith, remove any kind of the traces of darkness in the soul, which is actually an embodiment of light. When the vision of an enlightened soul falls on the ignorant Kumbhakarna, his vision becomes a boon for that person to bring, to get up from what he used to think otherwise about the self and come out from such kind of deep sleep. Every man one day becomes enlightened personality from being ignorant Kumbhakarna. If God does exist, you know, God is eternally enlightened personality, ocean of knowledge, truth, remover of sorrows, bestower of happiness, giver of that divine eye and divine intellect. If he does exist, one day everyone will turn from being Kumbhakarna to an enlightened divine personality. It is sure. It should happen. Otherwise, why people have been praising God so much as the bestower of third eye of knowledge, as the destroyer, remover of the darkness? Actually, when we talk about the darkness and light, light is always in something, you know, which can be seen clearly. And what is the most but the closest thing which man is not able to find? Easy and closest. That is the self, actually. Who am I? Most subtle, unseen, invisible, but closest. When I say I feel my existence, that means the closest. But there is always a confusion and dissatisfaction and miss and incomplete of knowledge when man considers himself or thinks himself, comparing the body with the position, the possessions, etc., etc. Therefore, it is said, know thyself. Before knowing God, man should know about himself first of all. Raj Yoga gives the understanding that man actually is a beautiful, most beautiful entity. When we express the word man, manav, human being, everyone thinks immediately about the structure, form, which is seen with his physical eyes. But Raj Yoga gives the understanding that man is not the physical object, but man is the subtle and the most pure form of energy, which is called the soul, invisible and incorporeal, cannot be seen. Therefore, the question arises, how to be enlightened and become a spiritual personality from being Kumbhakarna? Here, the question of the eternally enlightened spiritual personality who is called Supreme Soul. Supreme Soul, there are two different words, Supreme and the Soul. Among all the souls, he is the Supreme in the sense he is constantly incorporeal soul, incorporeal father of the incorporeal souls. Only he can enlighten us through his mercy. Only he can awaken the people who are in the deep sleep of ignorance of the self, awaken, enlighten, and give them the beautiful gift of divine eye and divine intellect, with the help of which man continues to perform such actions which will make him on one day practically a deity, a divine being, full of virtues equivalent, more or less equivalent to that of God himself, which include the purity, peace, love, happiness, constantly. Therefore, just opposite to Kumbhakarna, and not only just the enlightened personality, but who possesses the qualities of God constantly in action, in relations. And just opposite is Kumbhakarna, who is lacking these beautiful qualities of life, and accordingly his actions and relations. Therefore, awakening Kumbhakarna means, first of all, to adopt those beautiful qualities, first of all, in the self, qualities such as complete purity. Complete love. Complete peace. Complete happiness. Full. There should not be anything lacking. You can just imagine if these are the qualities of the invisible soul. What do you understand by being complete in purity, peace, happiness, love, etc.? Can there be any limit to these qualities? No. Would God have any limit in terms of His purity, love, happiness, peace, bliss, knowledge, power? Is there any limit to His qualities? No. Because soul is infinitesimally small in its existence and conscient. God is also soul. But since He is always incorporeal, He does not lose His qualities, and thereby awakens us from the deep sleep of ignorance to the complete state of enlightenment. Therefore, it is essential, first of all, to ask the Self, how much am I such an enlightened soul, and what is the difference between me and God? And therefore the first step of a Rajyogi enlightened soul is to fill the gap between the Self and the Supreme Soul, the Self and God. In other words, to fill the gap of the qualities, the virtues, the powers. In other words, to intensify the process. And what is that process? As you think, so shall you become. As you think, so shall you become. The more you think of God and His qualities, the more you fill the gap and thereby become completely, eternally enlightened souls. This is the first and foremost step of awakening the Kumbhakarnas, that means the ignorant and my own brother souls of the entire world. And another aspect which does not generally allow man to make such effort to intensify the process of remembering God as He is. Intensify this process as you think, as I think, so shall I become, actually is very tragical. man considers himself wrongly, identifies himself wrongly, thinking that instead of being God's child, he thinks himself as being like God or part of God, and he himself is immune to the effect of any kind of actions he performs. And when such kind of belief develops with respect to self, there cannot be the enlightenment, transformation from being man to a perfect, pure deity who adopts in the life the virtues of God, you know. People do believe in deities who have the virtues of God. A man cannot be like that, you see. Man has to make effort to become a deity. It is wrong to consider himself as God. There is actually a big difference of day and night between a deity and God. Forget about talking about man considering himself to be God. Therefore, Kumbhakarna means the one who considers himself to be God and has no understanding of the philosophy of karma, which says, as you do, so shall you reap. And when he develops such belief, he feels free to do any action. He feels to develop any relation. He feels that he has no boundaries. He has nothing to be explained with. He himself thinks like Godfather. In other words, that personality is what is called being Kumbhakarna. Only God is God. Human beings are many. God is one for all and for all the religions in the world. God is also called the father of the founders of the religion. Therefore, truly all the religions believe that God cannot be separate for each religion. If God does exist, he must be one for all. Yes. Only God is God, and only God can give his introduction. Only God can glorify himself to the whole world. Therefore, this simple understanding must be in every human being, actually, that a man cannot be God. Just with simple understanding, which is proven in the system of beliefs that God is one for all. Therefore, to claim oneself being a God is the most, you see, it's the deepest level of ignorance, which keeps the soul of human being in the deep sleep of, you know, when man sleeps, can you teach him a lesson? Did any teacher ever try to teach a lesson to his student who is sleeping in the school or in at home? Is there anyone among you who is a teacher? Did you ever try to teach your student while he's sleeping? No. He loses the abilities to understand. And the same thing has happened to many people of the world who claim this title being self, being the God, and not only consider themselves to be God, but also continue to give the teachings of the same, asking everyone to consider God. Thereby, actually, very tragedy has been happening in the belief system of the world when people take as granted through any kind of teachings, such teachings, that man himself is actually God. No, that is not true, and this becomes a big barrier in the spiritual development of man. He becomes stagnant. Religion also does not progress in its values because of this reason. Otherwise, religion is the might. Religion should flourish in its spiritual growth. In other words, values, divine values in the human system, which is never has been seen actually, except in heaven, if you believe, which must have been definitely created by God. Therefore, who will awaken man from such a deep sleep of ignorance where he believes day and night that he is God? If you are an enlightened person, if you have imbibed the knowledge of the self, of the God, the more the person understands the God, the more he is enlightened in his life. If you have enlightened your life to that extent that you fully know who he is, that you know not only who he is, but who he is for you, and who you are for him, what you are doing for him, what he is doing for you, and what he does for the entire humanity. Whatever his action should also be the actions of man. Such personality is called an enlightened personality. God does not have a body at all. Therefore, a bodily being cannot claim the title of being a God. If he does so, it means he is actually a true Kumbhakarna. That is only a mythological personality. But here, practically, many people have become such Kumbhakarnas who have to be awakened by only God. the knowledgeable. But how does he do? If we realize that God's task is our task, the practical glorification of God is, first of all, love in practice. The practical glorification of God is complete vicelessness, egolessness, and completely developing the feeling of being an incorporeal personality, though there is body. Such kind of shift, such kind of personality can become an instrument. Glorification of God means mercy in practice, knowledge, truth, first of all, truth in practice. Reject falsehood. What is that falsehood? The falsehood is also, first of all, not as much in the world, corruption, etc., but first of all, it is a belief in man's intellect. And that is to consider the self wrongly as with what is perishable, which is called body. Every one of us has body, isn't it? Is there anyone who does not have a body sitting here? Is there anyone who is sleeping also, he will think he is bodily being. He never thinks that he is bodiless. Sometimes maybe it is possible that you will be sleeping, that you forget yourself, you think that you are a bodiless being. But all of a sudden you wake up and again feel that you are really bodily being. The biggest falsehood which man has adopted, began to believe and made the roots in the life, is actually considering the self as with a body, self with a body, with a perishable body. Therefore, based on this belief, you know, everything, man's actions grow towards what is called social evil, what is called vice, in the form of lust, greed, attachment to the possessions and people, etc., etc., and so on and so forth. But the glorification of God means, first of all, to remove this darkness of ignorance, understanding, this falsehood in the belief about the self. Yes. Then, if there is no body while living, that is the feeling of the body, feeling of the falsehood. See, there is a soul in the body. I am that. That becomes the tool to help God in awakening people who are in the deep sleep with wrong beliefs. To glorify God means to empower the self to that extent that you yourself is not influenced by the wrong beliefs. In other words, you are not influenced by the attractions of the body, bodily things. you are empowered to that extent that you are able to face the situations of the life. You are empowered to that extent that you are able to help through your power of mind, which means through the power of your own pure thoughts. Pure beliefs give rise to pure thoughts, contemplation, feelings, emotions, which will give rise definitely to some or another kind of result on some or another kind of day to every human being. When man's awareness rises from mundane in the true sense, at the same time keeping the enlightenment in the awareness, his pure feelings one day take the form of practical fruit to many. This is what is the feeling of a Rajyogi who remembers the God with the aim of awakening the people in the deep sleep with wrong beliefs, whose mind is focused on one most important thing, which has become the cause for the degradation of humanity, degradation in the belief system. And that is, God is not omnipresent, but He is the resident of the Supreme Abode. God is not present in human beings, but God is the Father, definitely. He is always, always present. Whereas we come and go, change. But God always remains in His supreme abode. This thought, when it becomes quite powerful, centralized in the entire humanity. Yes, it would be very nice if that would happen. But at least to those who are listening now, if this one single thought is centrally focused, this power of thought, with the help of God's power, will awaken the souls, human beings, in the deep sleep, from the deep sleep, and the recognition comes in everyone's life on this whole planet that God actually showing the true path to know Him, true path to reach Him, true path to once forever finish the unlimited sorrows, peacelessness, vicious tendencies which are uncontrolled. God's feelings are always most pure, and for all the time actually. It is just Kumbhakaran has to feel, understand, realize the truth about the self, about him. Then the root cause or the seed which has been growing and growing in the form of big tree of falsehood, the body has become, from the vices are false, the Maya is false, the body is false, the whole world is false, has become the world of falsehood. That seed of ignorance about God being omnipresent, and thereby man has become free, received the freedom to perform even sins, etc., will be one day completely burned, destroyed into ashes. When the Kumbhakarna is destroyed, then the deities will emerge. Man is born not to become sinful. Soul comes from the soul world with qualities that of God. Therefore, the world begins with the enlightened souls, which is called the world of charitable souls, divine souls, deity religion, deity kingdom, Sun Dynasty kingdom. Yes, it did exist on the land of original Bharat. But it is now no more. But it did exist. When did it exist? Ask anyone abroad, when did Christianity begin? Ask anyone abroad, when did Islam begin? Judaism begin? Buddhism begin? Everyone will reply. But ask in India, when did the original deity religion, the images of which are worshipped in the temples, did exist, did find? Since the God who established that religion disappeared from the intellects of the human beings, so also the age about this religion also disappeared from the intellects of the people. But this gave rise to perform a mistake by saying that religion has been existing since the immemorial ages. The times which is not in the memory of people. Which means no one knows actually. The total age of the deity dynasty, which has been but now has become past. By considering it to hundreds of thousands of years from the time of immemorial, the concept led people. This concept of time of the original religion, immemorial to the human being, led human being further, lose the faith in the return of deity religion back in the world, back to the world. And that actually is called sleep of Kumbhakaran, and knowledge of God, which says, know Him, receive liberation and liberation in life, mukti and jivan mukti, in a second, finish from the intellect of the man this long age, and develops the belief of deity religion just being at the corner, around the corner. Because to know the God means to know the self completely. God means Father. God means I am the child. God means the inheritance, the property, the next birth. God means human being changing into a deity. It is the question of the completion of whole cycle and the beginning of the new cycle, and the present being the confluence where man begins to believe the combined form of the past, present and the future at the same time, whereby the ignorance of the complete age of the world cycle is also removed. And that is also removed when man has the faith. God means in second, mukti, jivan, mukti. That is what is the meaning of awakening the Kumbhakarna. When man is totally ignorant of the future, he has to be awakened about the future. Then he, with great enthusiasm, begins to make effort. If he believes that there is long time still left to make effort, there won't be any question of making effort when there is no clarity about the future. To awaken means, to awaken the Kumbhakarna means to awaken from the sleep of hopelessness, absence of zeal and enthusiasm, doubts, no self-confidence, no faith in the self. All this kind of negativity which further develop into many kinds of such what are called sanskaras that will never allow man to make effort to transform, to become worthy, elevated, worthy of worship. To awaken the Kumbhakarna means to make man from ordinary to a deity. Manav se devta. There is no difference between man and a deity except deity is full of worthy of worship, full of virtues and worthy of worship. Whereas man cannot be worshipped. It is wrong to accept that someone is worshipping you. We have no right, however good may be, however beautiful we may be, however full of virtues may be, but as long as the body is born with the sin, man should not be worshipped. It is like worshipping the evil spirits. Because body is made of elements of the nature which are also what are called impure tamoguni. As the body, so the sanskars. Kumbhakarna is the one who believes the self in the body and adopts the tamoguni sanskar. But an awakened person is the one who adopts the satoguni sanskars, satoguni, satopradhan, divine virtues, and develops satoguni sanskar. Deities are called satoguni, satopradhan. A day will come when man realizes these three aspects of truth. Number one, that he is not body, but he is pure eternal soul, the child of incorporeal father. Thereby the second, that God actually is not omnipresent, but He is beyond the death and birth and beyond the physical. But eternally pure, perfect, full of knowledge, blissful, purifier, totally different from man, angel, deity, cannot be compared with anyone, anything. He descends and does give his own instruction. And thirdly, that deity religion of India, of Bharat, was not actually so long as we have been believing in, but actually very short. Very, very short. Now the time has passed through all the ages. Golden, silver, copper, iron, and undergoing the most auspicious for all the religions age, the confluence between two kalpas, two cycles. The most powerful age. We are actually passing through the phase of Jupiter, the phase of God as the knowledgeful Sadguru. No one can claim the title of Sadguru, isn't it? He is the bestower of salvation for all. then no more Kumbhakarnas remain in this world. It is His task to awaken everyone, and it is our duty, first of all, to awaken the self completely in the eyes of God, and to help everyone enlightened, awakened, to help everyone to become completely pure once again. We came onto the earth as a charitable souls, but became on the process in the cycle of this long journey of birth and death, sinful. It is God who is supreme soul, ever pure, makes us sinful souls into charitable souls once again. He makes us as He is, so that we will not perform any sins anymore, and the birth of the body will also be accordingly. That is what is the main teaching of Raja Yoga. Consider yourself not as the body, but the divine child, the incorporeal soul, incorporeal child of the incorporeal Father. Believe that it is the time of God, the most auspicious confluence age for all, thereby to change from ordinary man to an elevated, worthy of worship deity. And thirdly, the world has passed through all the ages of gold and silver, copper, iron, and once again we are returning to our original religion. The religion of the self, the soul, is the religion of humanity. So with these three most powerful beliefs, Raja Yoga is being imparted by Brahma Kumaris all over the world for the people of all the religions. I would like to ask you who are in front of me now, if I ask you a question, who is God for you? In just one word. And on what basis you feel right to say that God is not omnipresent for you? Do you understand my question? Who is God for you, and on what basis you would say that God is not omnipresent for you? No? Therefore we are practicing, you know, considering the self different from God and remembering God in His true form. Yes? Can you give microphone, Brother Suresh? Yes, sister, please come. You take the microphone, just wait, come near the stage. Who are you? Where are you from? Who is God for you, and on what basis you feel that He cannot be? Yes.
Om Shanti. Yeah, I'm Preeti from Seattle. I'm a first timer.
You can just come here, in the middle of the, in the center of the stage. Yeah.
Okay.
You are?
Om Shanti. Yeah. I'm Preeti from Seattle. I'm a first timer, and for me, God is a is the purifier.
Purifier, very good.
Because He's the only one who can purify,
yes,
all the souls.
Yes.
And nobody, I mean, no human soul, yeah, can even come close to that.
Yeah. Therefore, He cannot be present.
Yeah, He cannot
anywhere.
Be. Right. Because nobody, we have purification systems of water and everything, but a human soul can only be purified by a supreme soul.
Yes. Anybody from the brother's side, come. If you want to speak in Russian, you can. I can translate into English. Who is God for you, Alexander?
Ом Шанти, брат Александр, Россия. Для меня Бог это вот как было в недавних уроках несколько раз. Это семя, это истина, это то, что было изначально, то, что есть всегда, то, зачем мы сюда пришли, то для того, что вот мы пытаемся понять вот эту сущность имени, вот эту сущность. То есть я здесь для того, чтобы понять истину, узнать Бога ближе, это значит узнать до конца истину.
The brother's name is Alexander, he is from Russia, and he says that God for him is a seed, and it means the truth. And our purpose when we come here is to find out what is truth.
Yes, anybody else? Anyone? Come? Somebody from Baltics? Irina Fakirova. Then Ukraine, Danilenko.
Om Shanti. До знания я вообще не верила в Бога.
Коротко.
И когда поняла, кто такой Бог, стали происходить изменения со мной, с душой. То есть влияние Бога стало сказываться. То есть когда, если бы Он был вездесущ, и не было бы связи с Ним, то я осталась такой, какая я и была бы. Но, имея вот эту связь, раджа-йогу, душа стала меняться. То есть душа стала чище, стали приходить добродетели, изменилось поведение и отношения.
Спасибо.
Он для меня все, весь мир.
Sister name is
Irina.
Irina, she's from Russia, from Baltic states.
Latvia.
Latvia. And so, what is God for her? She said that God for me is everything. And before coming to Gyan, she didn't believe in God at all, but when she came to knowledge, to Gyan, she started to change, and before it was not possible, and she is feeling that the soul is changing, the virtue is coming. That's why, of course, he couldn't be omnipresent.
Danilenko, who is God for you? Speak in English.
Shanti, брат Сергей, Украина. Для меня Бог — это прежде всего Отец.
Please say in English.
Отец всех душ. Высшая душа, и так же, как я душа индивидуально, и я не вездесущая, я отдельное индивидуальное существо, и точно так же Бог, Отец душ, Он тоже душа индивидуальная, отдельное существо, отдельное от душ, отдельное от материи, и не вездесущая. Именно поэтому могут быть взаимоотношения между нами и им.
Спасибо.
Брат Сергей from Ukraine. He says that God for him is, first of all, Father. And of course, due to this reason, as it is Father, he couldn't be omnipresent. And first of all, Father, it means that there are relationships. And he feels that this is the case. That's why he is not omnipresent. He is a Father.
It's true. Anyone from any other country wish to say something? Please. Who is God for you? On what basis you say that He is not omnipresent?
Om Shanti. I'm Stella Saklopati from Greece, Athens, Anthony Stranos Center. God for me is all the relationships now.
Yeah.
And He is this source of divine energy that He really can transform us from thorns to flowers. And of course He is not omnipresent, because He is the creator of the universe, the sustainer, the purifier, the comforter of the soul, the liberator of the soul. And He really is the boatman that takes us with the boat from the poison, the sea of the poison, to the sea of milk.
Good.
We are very lucky to recognize God, and I think this life in Confluence Age is the most precious. Because it's only now that we can have the relationship with God. In Golden Age, God goes for holidays because He's not needed. Purity is there. So it's the most precious life we have now, and every second counts. We have to be very careful with time and thought, the most precious commodities.
Yes.
I'm very, very happy that I discovered God, and God really, I believe that all Brahmins are handpicked by God and brought here. Thank you very much.
Om Shanti. Anyone? Last one, then we'll have meditation for 5 minutes. Last one is one person.
Deepahuja from Canada. He is for me the point of light. He is the only can be truthful and purifier. No human can be like Him. Thank you.
Thank you. So now let us applaud on behalf of the self and on behalf of everyone. Okay. Okay, if you have no questions, I very much hope that you have no questions. Let us have a few minutes of meditation and then finish the session. Thank you.